This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
What the fuck? Hold on. I got my name wrong.
The crypt doors have opened. The shadows are stirring. And I'm finally back. That's right. Big D is back. I'm back for season four of Guess What? You're Wrong. After a brief hiatus, we're back and we're diving headfirst into some of the best and definitely some of the worst horror flicks that you can find. And as always, we're going to spoil the hell out of any movie we discuss. So grab your flashlights, hide your snacks, and crack a jar. It's time to get spooky.
Enjoy the show!
Now, before we get into this episode too far, I just got a little disclaimer here. First off, all audio used in this podcast is used under the protection of fair use. And as with all of my movie reviews that I do here on Guess What? You're Wrong, we spoil the hell out of everything we talk about. So you have been warned. Welcome back to another Krampus and Santa battling episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. Now, as you can see, in this episode, we're covering A Christmas Horror Story. Now, this is a movie from 2015. I had seen this initially when it did come back and when it first came out, actually, in 2015. But it's been something that I haven't really revisited that often, and I know why, but that's not a good enough reason. As you can see from the picture here, how they got Krampus, it's not a traditional, I guess you could say, mythological, accurate portrayal of Krampus, and that's the main reason why I haven't revisited this as much as I think I should have. You know what? Let's just get into this here real quick. The movie is four interwoven stories that take place on Christmas Eve, told by a festive radio host, none other than Captain Kirk, William Shatner. A family brings home more than a Christmas tree. A student documentary becomes a living nightmare, and a Christmas spirit terrorizes. Santa slays evil. It was directed by Grant Harvey, Stephen Hoban, Brett Sullivan, written by James Key, Sarah Larson, Doug Taylor, and stars. Let's go down this list of fucking people in this movie because it's a list, let me tell you. William Shatner as Dangerous Dan, the radio host. George Buza as Santa. We got Rob Archer as Krampus. Zoe de Grand Maison, Molly. And who plays Molly? Okay, she's in one of the high schoolers. Alex Osrove Meyer as Ben. Shannon Cook as Cook. Shannon Cook as Dylan. Amy Forsyth as Caprice Bauer. Jeff Clark as Taylor. Boy, this list goes on. Michelle Nolden as Diane. Adrian Holmes as Scott. Olunike, I can't even pronounce her name. I don't even want to try because I'll offend somebody because I pronounced it incorrectly. But I'm going to try. Olunike Adelia, who plays Kim. Who plays actually Scott's wife, Adrian Holmes' wife in the movie. Orion John as Will. A.C. Peterson as Big Earl. Percy Hines White as Duncan. Corinne Conley as Aunt Edda. Julianne Richings as Gearhart. You'll notice him. I'm going to talk about him a little bit later. Deborah McCabe as Marta and Joe Silvaggio as Jingles the Elf. So, oh boy, this movie. We get into this movie. You know, it opens up with Dangerous Dan, William Shatner, you know, doing his radio DJ thing. And we immediately go into, you know, he's talking about, you know, Christmas, it's Christmas time and he's got stuff coming up and doing some stuff. But we now, so Dangerous Dan is a radio host, right? Now he's stuck in a long shift in Bailey Downs. Keep that in mind, too. You remember that one? It's a radio station on Christmas Eve during his broadcast. He begins receiving some notices of disturbances at the local mall. And I can't remember the guy's name. The weatherman, Storman Norman, is supposed to be hosting a charity event down there at the mall, charity food drive. Now he starts telling listeners to stay away. Dan keeps playing holiday music while we go into these four stories, right? So we don't really know what's going on with Storm and Norman, the weatherman. We just know that at one point when Dangerous Dan's talking to him, he holds up a sign and puts it on the window and says, "Fuck Christmas." So, okay, well, I think we kind of might know where that's going to be headed. But the first story that we dive into here is Dylan, Ben, Molly, and... But the first story we dive into here is Dylan, Ben, and Molly Simon have decided to break into their school, which used to be a convent. And they're there to investigate some murders that happened or that occurred in the school. Oh, I just shitted that one up. It's a good thing I can edit this shit, right? Dylan, Ben, and Molly Simon have decided to break into their school, which used to be a convent. What the fuck? So now, Dylan, Ben, and Molly and Simon have decided to break into their school. Now, the school used to be a convent, right? They're there to investigate some murders that happened a couple years ago in the basement. Their friend Caprice, who is Dan's granddaughter, Dangerous Dan, was supposed to go, but she instead decided to go out of town with her parents. Maybe lucky for her, right? So the three of them, Molly, Dylan, and Ben, end up getting locked into the basement. Get locked in the basement here, and it's weird. Some weird strangeness starts happening. Molly becomes possessed, right? And she seduces Dylan, and Dylan refuses her. Dylan's like, "I got a girlfriend. You know that, Molly." Well, Molly kills him. Right. Molly successfully seduces Ben, and boy, she's possessed during this period here, and you know, she sits Mech in a chair and she straddles him, unzips his pants, and pulls out his cack, and just rides him. He finishes inside her, and then she comes to. The possession like goes away, and she's like,
"This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself."
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Ben, what did you do to me? What did you do? And it's a big, long, drawn-out thing between them two. And that, but it ends quickly because, well, Molly reveals that a ghost was actually the ghost that they had been there, that they were there to try and investigate, was actually a pregnant teenager named Grace who died at the school when it was a convent after the nuns gave her a gruesome abortion. The ghost is only interested in having someone give birth to her child. If they refuse, well, they murder her, right? So explains last year's death in the basement. Now, despite having successfully gotten Molly pregnant, the ghost sees Ben holding a weapon which she views as a threat, right? And the ghost kills him. The ghost then unlocks the door and allows Molly to leave. So that's the gist of the story from the first story. The things, man, it's just weird. This the visuals in this are it takes place in a basement, right? It's damp and dark and dreary. A lot of these rooms are like shitty, you know. They've been down there locked up for years. So there's old beds that are stained with something and chairs. And yeah, it's kind of nasty. And I think at some point, doesn't one of them lie down to take a nap or something? I don't remember. But I'm like, damn, I don't know if I'd be laying on them damn beds. Even having sex in those rooms, I'm telling you. Shit. But Ben, you know, being teenagers, hormones and all. But, you know, that was, it was interesting too when a ghost shows up holding this bloody baby, this dead baby. It's kind of disturbing, actually. You know, it's just like, but Molly is pregnant now with the spirit of that baby, I guess. So good luck, Molly. And then then we go on to the next story, the second story. I'm going to give you a brief the synopsis here, and we'll go over the story itself a little bit. Scott Peters is a police officer who worked the murder case of the two students the year before. Now, all these stories are tied in. So Scott Peters is a police officer investigating this murders in that basement of the school where Molly just got pregnant with a demon child. You know, so... So all of these stories are all intertwined. Keep that in mind as well. But he had to leave the force due to the trauma of it. You know, it was very trauma-inducing. On Christmas Eve, much to his wife's reluctance, Scott convinces his family to go into the woods owned by a big Earl to chop down a Christmas tree. Now, in this story here, let me see. That first story with the teenagers, we had Molly, who was Zoe de Grandmaison. I guess she's French. Alex Ozerov Meyer as Ben, and Shannon Cook as Dylan. And in this story here, we have Adrian Holmes as Scott and Aluniki as Kim. Now, this is a strange story, but it kind of, I do kind of like it because it, well, let's get into the story. Scott, he convinces his family to go in the woods to look for their own Christmas tree. He's going to cut down their own Christmas tree. I mean, who hasn't done that, right? Go and cut down your own Christmas tree. It's like awesome. We did that this year. And it's just fun. It's good stuff. Kids love it. But they see a sign that says no trespassing. But just on the other side of that sign, they're like, oh, that's the perfect tree. We need that tree. So they all, Kim is like trying to convince them that maybe we don't do that. Maybe we don't go in there and take this tree. Come on. I mean, the sign says no trespassing. Well, Scott's just like, yeah, whatever. Let's go. We're going to go get this. He and his wife, Kim and Will, they get, wait, hold on. I skipped up my notes here. Okay. So they cut down this tree, right? And they're dragging it back. And there's the three of them. And all of a sudden, Will disappears. He wanders off, he gets lost, whatever. He just disappears. Now, Scott and his wife are frantically calling for Will, but they find him inside this hole in a tree. Right? That's your first. I lost my kid, and then I found them inside a hole in a tree. Think about that. Now, they get home, and they set up the tree, and they start decorating all this stuff. Now, the synopsis is things start going awry. Will starts acting strangely, culminating in Big Earl, the owner of the property where they stole the tree from, contacting the family and telling the mother that it's not actually Will, that it's a changeling. Now, Earl demands, bring the changeling to me back to the forest. And she refuses, you know, until the changeling kills Scott. And Kim finally takes the changeling to Big Earl. He scolds her and says, unable to keep his son because it's up in the troll. Oh, you can't give your son back because the changeling's got him. This ultimately ends with Kim shooting Big Earl. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, so now that's the synopsis into the story. From the moment they find their kid and they bring Will back home, he's acting weird. You know, you can see that the vacant, and this kid is a good actor. Do they have his name listed here? Will Orion John, that's who was Will. Good actor, because he plays this, he's supposed to be kind of, you know, withdrawn and, you know, out there. And he's got that blank. A lot of times when they're doing this, he's got that blank look in his eyes. Where you're kind of like, kid kind of looks a little weird. But there's a scene where he's eating and he's eating. He's got spaghetti. And he's just like, he's shoveling the spaghetti in his mouth like crazy. And Scott comes in and he's like, well, I guess, you know, must be pretty good. And Kim says, well, he must have been hungry because that's a second helping. So they tell him to slow down. Will freaks out. A bunch of stuff. They send him to his room. It's like a train wreck. This shit keeps happening, but you got to keep watching. So, I don't want to go before this. So Scott is out there, falls asleep on the couch, wakes up, and the presents and everything are unwrapped. You know, they're unwrapped. I mean, somebody had opened them. And so he goes in there and wakes Will up, and he's like, did you open up those presents? Blah, blah, blah. turns around and he whoops his ass, man. He takes his belt off and starts whooping him. Sometimes kids need a good ass whooping, though, right? Kim tells him, go, get the fuck out of here, blah, you don't hit him like this. And it's just a big thing, you know. It's, oh, man. Will does eventually, he kills Scott. And it's not nice. I mean, it's pretty gruesome. Kim finds Scott. You know, Kim gets that call from Earl. And Earl's like, did you take something else home with you for my property, blah, blah, blah. Tells her, well, it's not your son. You know, bring the changeling back to me, and I'll take care of him. Not once did he ever say that, bring the changeling back to me, and I'll give you your son. He just says, bring the changeling back to me, and I'll take care of him. So, Kim doesn't believe him until she finds Scott. The changeling had killed Scott. So, well, she believes him. And, one thing I didn't realize, look at this. Why am I not spotlighted still? Boom. That is what it is. Cut that down as well. But she ends up taking Will back to Big Earl. And Big Earl's like, I can't believe you. I protect this place. I keep them all here. They're afraid of me. So right then, we know that Big Earl is the reason why all of these changelings or trolls or whatever they are stay in his forest. They don't leave because they're afraid of him. Well, because Big Earl says, I never told you I could get your son back. Well, Kim gets a little upset and shoots and kills Big Earl. In essence, freeing all these trolls or changelings or whatever they are, freeing them to leave the forest. They can go out there into the world. And I guess out of gratitude, Kim just sits down and begs, give me my son. And I guess out of gratitude, because she freed them, they bring Will back to him out of the tree. Kid's got to be freezing. They pull him out of the tree in his underwear, and his tidy whities, and it's like snowy and cold as balls out there, so kid's got to be freezing. But that's pretty much the end of that story. That's, wow. Interesting, right? Now, the third story, Caprice and her younger brother, Duncan, are traveling with their parents, Tyler and Diane, to visit their elderly aunt, Edda. Edda. E-D-D-A. During their visit, Edda tells them about the mythological creature Krampus, a punisher of evildoers, which frightens Caprice, especially after Duncan purposefully destroys a Krampus figurine. And Gearheart, their parents, the caretaker of the property there with their aunt, great aunt Edda, scolds them. You know, what happens in evil, you're bad, blah, 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 blah. Now, the parents, they take, Edda is like, get the fuck out. You gotta get out of here. The parents take their children and they leave. Now, they had initially gone to Edda's. Let's not get off the synopsis here real quick. But they get in the car, they get into a car accident, and they're forced to walk. Aware now that they're being hunted by Krampus because they acted badly. However, they're picked off one by one until only Caprice remains. Caprice manages to flee to Aunt Edda's house. She's successful in killing Krampus, who transforms into Gearheart, the caretaker. It's revealed that he transformed into Krampus due to his anger over the family's actions, and that Edda was fully aware that this would happen. Furious, Caprice's anger causes her, in turn, to transform into Krampus, and she attacks Edda and kills her. Initially, Caprice and her younger brother, Duncan, are traveling with their parents, Taylor and Diane. They're going to see Aunt Edda because they want some money. She's wealthy. She's loaded. So they're going there with some kind of bright scheme or something like that to try and get her to invest, to them. Now, this is when Duncan breaks that. There's some figurines there. There's a figurine of Santa Claus and Krampus on the nightstand or one of the end tables there. And Duncan breaks the Krampus figurine. Gearhart is a little upset. You know, he's so angry that I guess the way that they say it is that the spirit of Christmas, there's two sides to the spirit of Christmas. So there's a good side that is represented in Santa Claus. And then there's the bad side, the spirit of Christmas, that is represented in Krampus. So Gearhart's anger over the disrespect and, you know, of them breaking that Krampus figurine, that anger, it was Christmas time, so that Christmas spirit went into him. That evil Christmas spirit, or the Krampus. He turns into Krampus, hunts down this family after they get into their car accident, and it's just, we get the Krampus with the chain. You can see it in the picture here. We got Krampus with the chain, he's reaching it out. It's got the hook, and he's pulling people in and stuff. He uses that a couple times to pull in some of the family members to him, and it's interesting when Caprice, as she's the only one that remains, she makes it back to Aunt Edda's house. And when she goes to knock on the door, there's a huge cross on the door, which wasn't there before. And then she confronts Aunt Edda. Well, Aunt Edda's like, no, come on in, you'll be safe. After Caprice had killed Krampus and he transformed into Gearhart, Caprice is a little, something fishy here. And she puts two to two together. She's like, Aunt Edda, she confronts her. You knew. That's why you sent us out of here. And that's why you locked the door behind us and put the cross on your door so Krampus wouldn't come back. You knew he was going to hunt us down and kill us. And Edda's like, no. But because of all this anger and everything that had just happened here, Caprice transforms into Krampus. Killing Aunt Edda. Now, Aunt Edda, then with a name like Edda, E-D-D-A, everybody knows the Eddas and the sagas from Viking mythology. Krampus is more of a Germanic demon, if you will. But a lot of times, those ancestral groups get bunched together. So I just found that interesting here in this third story. Now, the fourth story, is where it all culminates here. Now, preparing for a busy Christmas, Santa Claus, he discovers that all of his elves and his wife, Martha, have turned into zombies after one of them of the infected elves dies following a fit of rage. He manages to kill them all, but is forced to fight against Krampus in the end. However, I don't want to get into that yet because it's going to spoil the end of the story. And I want to spoil that in due time. Let's get into this story here of Santa and his elves. Mrs. Claus is always bringing out cookies. All the elves love the cookies, and it's common in any Santa Claus movie. Mrs. Claus has cookies. Elves eat them up because that's elf fuel, basically. There's one elf that refuses the cookie. I'm not too hungry. He says, and I think that's Shiny. Is that what his name was? Jingles, I'm sorry. I think that was Jingles. But it turns out he's infected, turns into a zombie, and slowly but surely, begins turning all the other elves into zombies as well. Now, Santa Claus has this staff. I think this is cool, the staff. It's a golden staff, and at the end it's got some kind of a, you can kind of see it in the picture over here from the poster. But I think it's pretty cool. He's sharpening it at one point. He's getting ready to kill some zombies, right? And he he starts battling all these zombies, and you know, he's taking out all these zombie elves, basically. And he comes to a spot here, and he goes, because he told Martha, his wife's name's Martha. He told Martha to go and tells Martha to go. He's going to take care of the elves for her to go and hide, right? And after he kills a bunch of elves, he goes up to the library and he sees somebody down there and he says, Martha, is that you? As he gets closer, we find out that Martha was actually infected and she's a zombie too. So he has to kill her. Then there's the point where he's out in the, I guess, in the stables, getting the reindeer ready and his sleigh ready and everything. And this is also a scene that's at the beginning of the movie before all the stories start. You see this, you see Santa Claus in the stables getting his reindeer ready and getting his sleigh ready and everything. And the door starts to shake like somebody's coming, somebody's trying to break in. And then it goes into story one, the first story. But here at the end, we find out exactly what happened here. You know, it takes you back to that same scene. Santa's at his sleigh getting everything ready. I don't know if he's trying to deliver toys or if he's trying to escape, whatever the hell he's trying to do. But the door starts shaking. And in comes Krampus, tying that third story in to the fourth story. Man, I'm telling you. And they all get tied in together at the end, too. So, the battle ensues, you know, Krampus versus Santa Claus, and they're battling Krampus with his chain and his demon self, and Santa Claus with his goodness and his staff that's got that circular thing at the end. It's kind of, it's bladed because he's using it to cut elves' heads off and shit. So the battle ensues, and at one point, Santa Claus takes his staff and cuts off one of Krampus's horns. Krampus falls, you know, is on the ground, and he's like, no, don't kill me. Don't kill me. And then we find out what really was happening, right? Santa Claus is actually a mall Santa named Norman. Stormin' Norman, the weather forecaster on Dangerous Dan's radio show, the one that said, fuck, Christmas at the beginning? Yeah, that same one. He had a psychotic break working all this overtime, doing all this stuff right here. It caused him to go see mall regular goods. It caused him to see these mall goers as zombies. So he's killing everybody, all these zombie elves. But they're actually mall patrons. There are people there that were there to see Santa Claus, or, you know how kids do. Parents take their kids to see Santa Claus at the mall. But this was also a food drive. So there was a bunch of people there that were collecting, you know, food for the needy and the homeless and whatnot. Killed them too. Killed every fucking buddy. And he starts having flashes, you know. He's seeing the people in the mall, and then he's flashing back to, no, everything looks like the North Pole, and they're elves, and he's Santa Claus, and all this shit. He's having a psychotic break here. So we find out that this whole storyline of Santa Claus and Krampus was all in his head. He had a psychotic break, and he believed that that Krampus was the one that turned everybody into zombies, and he had to kill him. Now, the police, they arrive, and they have to gun him down. They gun him down. Just as he's going to kill Krampus, it's revealed it is the mall's manager, Mr. Taylor. Now, this is the disturbance in the mall that Dangerous Dan is talking about at the beginning of the broadcast that he mentioned. People stay away from the mall. There's some kind of a disturbance there. We don't know how many hostages there are and that kind of stuff. This is what he was talking about. Stormin' Norman, the weather guy, flipped his lid, thought he was the real Santa Claus, and was battling Krampus, and then was actually just killing a fuck ton of people at the mall. Wow. And William Shatner as Dangerous Dan, it was awesome. I mean, this story, like I said at the beginning here, the only thing I didn't like about it is how Krampus didn't look like you think he's supposed to look, you know, like they have in the lore and that kind of stuff. He looked completely different to me. In my eyes, I didn't, That was the one thing that detracted it from me. The stories that are told in this movie, in my opinion, are fucking spectacular. And how they're tied together, awesome. And that the fact at the end, the twist at the end, dude, I think it's brilliant. You know, this is definitely going on my every year Christmas horror watch list for sure. Spectacular movie, in my opinion. You know, let's get into some trivia. I know there's some trivia here, not too much, but the IMDb has provided us with a little bit of trivia. Right, there's a few things as I was going through this that I told you to remember. Remember the town called Bailey Downs. Now, the film takes place in the fictional town of Bailey Downs, which is where the Ginger Snaps films take place, as well as the name of the suburb where the Allison clone in the Orphan Black television series takes place. Now, this was intentional, as the filmmakers were responsible for the Ginger Snaps films, and director John Fawcett is one of the creators of Orphan Black. So there you go. Now, during the closing credit, this was funny. Right at the end of the credits, you know, they always have no animals were harmed, blah, 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 this stuff. It says no elves were harmed in the making of this film. That was kind of a funny thing. Now, one thing I did notice here, it was retitled in a bunch of places here as a holiday horror story for sale in some U.S. Walmart. Now, this is stupid. It's called a Christmas horror story. People get offended because you say Christmas, so they started calling it a holiday horror story. What a bunch of idiots. The aunt's butler, Gerhard, what the fuck am I thinking? Gerhard, played by Julian Richings. That's Death from Supernatural. And all you Supernatural fans out there, you know who Death is. And that's Julian Richings, who plays Gerhard, the guy that turns into Krampus. Pretty fun and cool, right? There is an end credit scene in this here where Dangerous Dan is on the phone doing a whole bunch of phone sessions talking about... Oh, fuck, I don't remember what he was talking about now. Somebody says, Google it. And he's like, no, the hell with Google. People just don't. Talk about the 12 Days of Christmas song, like Seven Songs of Swimming or something, whatever he said. He was wrong. And at the end, he admits it. Not too much trivia there, but there you have it. All in all, this is a good movie. I think this is something that I'm going to continue watching annually. It's going to go on my annual winter. I had to change my theme a little bit here. We're going to stick with winter time. Christmas is included in that. So this is going to go on my annual winter horror movie watch list for sure. I gave it a thumbs up. If you want to check something out, you want to have a good time with some Santa Claus and some Krampus and some good stories in between, check out A Christmas Horror Story. I don't think you're going to be upset by it at all. Let me see. Do I have anything else? I don't even know what's coming up next. I got another something. I think The Saint. Saint. Something like that. It's a Norwegian, Dutch. I don't know. That's coming up soon as well. But that's it. That's all I got for you in this episode of Guess What? You're Wrong. We went over A Christmas Horror Story. Keep it in on your list and check it out. You never know. You might like it. If you don't, if you disagree with me, that's fine. But guess what? You're wrong. But that's all I got for you, y'all. Take it easy out there, sweet dreams. Love, peace. And if it's going to rain, let it be purple, baby. And that's going to do it for the day. Thanks for hanging out with me and letting me bend your ear for a while. Ain't no time for bad shine. And until next time, don't forget. You're wrong.
Later, Tater.
This concludes our broadcast day. Good night, and God bless America.